In just 10 years, the Migration Partnership Facility has managed almost 100 projects across over 50 countries. By bridging the European Union's strengths in aid of local communities, the MPF has been mobilizing the EU's global footprint through partnerships that matter. Today we are unpacking the Migration Partnerships toolbox of the EU, how this has made real-world impact across different thematic areas in the global migration landscape. Joining us today, all the way from our Brussels office, we have Jennifer Tangney, Senior Project Manager for the Migrations Partnership Facility. Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for joining us today and welcome to the podcast.
Hello, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thanks, Jennifer. Let's start briefly with introducing the Migrations Partnerships Facility, or as we call in the office, MPF, to our listeners. Tell us about MPF, Jennifer.
Great, thank you. It's one of my favorite things to speak about. The MPF exists as a way of enabling cooperation and positive engagement between EU member states and priority countries outside of the EU, addressing common challenges and, very importantly, also opportunities that migration gives rise to. At the heart of the approach is a project or a specific initiative, but more broadly, we're also looking at ways of exchanging knowledge, ways of working in new partnership configurations between the EU institutions, EU member states, and these priority countries that are along the routes for migration to the EU. The MPF is now 10 years old, and in those 10 years, we have changed a lot as a program, starting quite small back in 2016, and being flexible and agile and changing along with the changing needs and landscapes. Countries have borders. Borders mean they have neighbors. And in this globalized world with, you know, airplanes that can connect countries very quickly, but also the different geopolitical dynamics, it's very important. And I think the EU and EU member states really recognize the importance of partnership with non-EU countries. So the MPF works through four different components, four different ways that we can provide support. The first and our most famous is our grant schemes, where across a range of different thematic areas, we can give grants to EU member states or EU member state institutions or actors to work in partnership with partner countries on a whole range of thematic areas. We also are in a position to offer technical assistance and support. And here, this is where ICMPD is able to directly intervene at the request of either DG Home or an EU member state to support a time-bound, niche, targeted initiative or to incubate and test a new approach. We also support the dialogues, intergovernmental regional dialogues, where states within the EU and outside the EU come together to discuss in a structured way migration opportunities, migration challenges, and to exchange on lessons learned and build communication. Finally, we also work significantly on knowledge management and communications, learning from all of these projects, learning from the different experience that member states have in implementing different types of approaches, and making sure that we make this information available to the broad community of those working on migration issues. It's really a fundamental part of the MPF's work.
Thanks, Jennifer. That's very thorough. Now, you mentioned earlier about partner countries along migration routes, but also geopolitics. And as we know, MPF sits in the broader global initiatives of ICMPD, which, as the name suggests, goes beyond the geographic bounds of the EU. So tell us about this more global outreach of the MPF.
The MPF is targeting, at the moment, the Silk Route region, Central Asia, southern partnership countries in the Mediterranean, and sub-Saharan African countries. So our geography and our geographic scope is quite broad, but it changes. It changes aligned to the priorities of the EU and its member states, but it also changes depending on where there are flows and migration trends that one sees. The MPF is indeed sitting in the Brussels mission and working in close cooperation with other facilities and other programs under the global initiatives. And this really gives rise to a comprehensive and complementary kind of laboratory within Brussels, where we have colleagues working on diaspora, return and reintegration, capacity building. And we all come together to make sure that we can be coherent, but also to ensure that we learn from each other and really implement good practice models.
A laboratory of ideas that promote strategic priorities on migration and mobility. What exactly do we mean by this in real-world terms?
In a practical setting, we are able to support EU member states to really look at what is the challenge or what is the opportunity that they want to address, and to be creative, to be testing, to pilot. I think a very good example of this is in the area of labor migration, where back in 2018, we started with 4 small pilot projects testing new ways of enabling labor mobility into the EU. And this has grown into now what we call our 3rd generation of projects, where we're moving people in the hundreds into the EU member states, following a very specific approach that ensures a benefit for the sending country, a benefit for the member state, and a benefit for the migrants. We have learned a lot about what is the governance that you need to have to make these schemes work. We've learned a lot about what do you need to do with the private sector in order to make this relevant, how you can bring in the private sector, where they can play a key role. And very importantly, we've learned a lot the hard way about skills recognition and other challenges that migrants face when wanting to access the legal pathways to the EU, because they need to have their qualifications validated and accepted. So we've learned a lot. We've shared a lot of information. And this has now given rise to new ways and new practices and new processes for EU member states and for the partner countries.
Is there a common thread among all of these projects together? I mean, I know it's very diverse and I'm going to touch on that later on. But is there a common thread?
The common thread is a desire to do something differently. It's a desire to work even on difficult issues in a constructive, positive way. So the common thread is partnership. And partnership needs to be partnership amongst peers, amongst equals. It needs to be mutually beneficial. And I think that's the common thread, because indeed, as you mentioned, it's quite diverse what we work on. We are able to support projects in the security area. We're able to support projects on border management. We can work on issues of prevention of trafficking, anti-smuggling, all the way over to labor and legal migration. But the common thread really is this empowering partnership approach that we look for in every initiative.
We are celebrating the 10th anniversary of MPF this year, and we'll have a few more moments to commemorate that. But I'm going to start with asking, how were we born as MPF?
The MPF was born back in 2016 at the time of mobility partnerships, the common agenda on migration, and it really came around as a need to engage EU member states and the partner countries more directly. I think in the past, migration was much more perceived as a state-led, an individual state-managed challenge, and opportunities were often missed to be more constructive in how they engage. The migration between the EU and the member states is a shared competency, and the MPF comes in to really bridge between this EU broader policy and the practicalities of EU member states engaging with partner countries outside of the EU. So the MPF came, it was quite small, it was modest. We started still covering internal security funds, which target anti-smuggling, police cooperation. We had the border management and visa instrument, which supports the implementation of integrated border management activities, border guard and dog training, Schengen visa rules, these kind of projects, but also the much larger asylum migration and integration funds. And with these, we can work on issues from protection of migrants to return and reintegration to the prevention of human trafficking. So the MPF was always intended to address a broad range of thematic areas and to be responsive. But over the years, we have seen a significant change in member state interest. We have very many member states that have cooperated with us, 24 to date. 29 partner countries outside of the EU. And we have reached a maturity, I think, in understanding how open we can make our support and services versus how much we need to guide member states in the direction with partner countries so that we are contributing to the external dimension of the new Pact on Migration and Asylum, which is the core objective of the MPF now.
Slightly internal question, but what is the role of the EU or the DG Home at MPF? What's the relationship like?
We speak a lot about partnerships between EU member states and partner countries outside of the EU. We are seen as a key tool or a flagship initiative of DG Home, but a resource that enables them to achieve some of the external dimension of the pact. So we work very closely on a day-to-day basis with DG Home, considering the different priorities. We're able to bring all of our institutional technical assistance forward to give good advice, to help with matching of partnerships, to shape the project. And this means that we are really able to help EU member states that maybe come forward with less experience or with an idea for a project, but not quite sure how to bring it to fruition. And this is a little bit the special nature of the relationship between DG Home and ICMPD, in that together we can really make this work.
And how do these partner countries get involved? Do they apply for grants? Do they submit proposals, or do we do that on their behalf?
Because of the nature of the funding, it is always an EU-based organization that, let's say, takes the lead. But the projects come forward either through the bilateral engagement between an EU member state and a non-EU country, but it also can be through the discussions that take place in the dialogues, for example. It can be through discussion at the Budapest process around specific labor needs or skills challenges in terms of recognition that later gives rise to a project that would come forward for funding under the MPF. We do get contacted as well by project interests or by partner countries that have project interests. And then we try to provide a little matchmaking where we know that there's an EU member state that maybe would have an interest in that geography, or maybe where there's a member state that has a specific competence or excellence that we know in this area. So we do try to matchmake, but in the main, we put out a call for proposals that state some specific objectives that are to be achieved, and then member states come forward with their proposals to us or with a project idea that we then really help them to develop further.
So for 10 years now, ICMPD has taken on the strategic priorities of the EU, shaping multiple projects under the MPF umbrella. And we have done this even, sometimes we stay in the background, but still providing institutions and partners the guidance in turning these migration challenges into partnerships that we can then operationalize, or we help them operationalize. You mentioned a few different regions earlier, Silk Routes, MENA, Africa. How wide is the scope of our footprint? And if we could get into a few specific examples of what we do in those countries or regions.
Over the years, we have seen the footprint really diversify. Initially, we were very much focused on the mobility partnership countries. Indeed, MPF, originally, the M was not migration, it was mobility for the mobility partnerships. But we saw quite quickly that EU member states were interested in more geographies. And so we broadened out the geographic scope over the years. We now have a footprint ranging from Morocco to Moldova to Mauritania to Bangladesh, 29 partner countries. India is the newest partner country to benefit with a new European Legal Gateway Office that will be supported by ICMPD. You mentioned ICMPD in the background, and that is absolutely true. We are trying to facilitate partnership approaches between the EU, EU member states, and partner countries. So we are intended to be a catalyst. We are intended to be an enabler. And so our role is through the grants to make funds and the technical support available, and through the technical assistance and support where ICMPD is directly implementing. We try to stay a little bit in the background so that the relationships that are intended to be developed and the sustainability of the initiatives is there. We are an enabler. We are not the beneficiary. This is something that is quite important as well for the MPF, in that the external dimension of the EU needs to really be well understood by EU citizens. Migration is a thorny subject, and communicating on migration, we see more and more, becomes very important. And therefore, on these projects, where really it is partnership, collaborative, and in general, positive stories to be told, we want to make sure that it's the member states and the beneficiary country that are the ones front and center, so that communication to their public and to their target audiences is very clear, and it's not complicated by another actor in the middle. So it's quite a technical project, but it's one really that enables the partner countries to protect their nationals, to reduce their irregularity, to reduce their vulnerability and abuse. And on the EU member state side, the intention is also to ensure that we are not having irregular flows of migrants that are arriving with the wrong information, believing that they have access to asylum, for example, or believing that they have access to a labor market, when in fact they have entered the EU irregularly. We also have examples of labor mobility schemes across North Africa, where our portfolio is very well established with Tunisia, Morocco, and Egypt. These are all talent partnership countries where the EU is seeking to really engage in a holistic approach to migration management, and within that, to support skills and labor mobility to the EU for these countries. Here we have by now more than 10 projects that have implemented over the years in sectors from construction to healthcare to IT. and looking at what are the skills needs that both the EU country may need, but also the sending country, investing in the skills on both sides, and then enabling people to move into the European labor market, but also to embed in their own labor market. So we have Digital Explorers, which actually worked with Nigeria, where over the implementation period, the success of the project and the matching of the talent between the Nigerian and the Lithuanian, in this case, labor market, was considered so good that a Lithuanian business decided to open an office in Nigeria and invest so that they could benefit from the Nigerian talent.
What about our projects in Asia or Central Asia and South Asia?
Bangladesh and Pakistan are now also talent partnership countries. And we have had a very interesting initiative called SkillsNet that was implemented by Italy with Pakistan. And it's really doing some of the fundamental matching and review of what is the curriculum for certain sectors, certain training in Pakistan, and how does this match to the training that's provided in Italy? Because fundamentally, if you're bringing people from one country to another, employers need to know that they are skilled more or less to the same level. This project has sparked a huge amount of interest, and we are really excited that this will now enable us to open up really a much bigger mobility scheme between Pakistan and several EU member states, because the results of this show that actually the Pakistani education system is very well aligned to some of the vocational sectors of need across the EU.
And so at which stage, or do we ever get involved, or do we ever get to inject these expertise into at any point in the project cycle, whether it's the design phase or the planning phase or the negotiating phase, do we get to inject our expertise across any of these stages?
Yes, is the very short answer. ICMPD, I think, is the chosen partner for the MPF. Our cooperation with DG Home, our ability to manage in a very flexible way this facility, but also because of our breadth of thematic and specialized competence. So within ICMPD, we have integrated border management and security expertise. We have expertise on asylum. We have expertise on return and reintegration. We have expertise in a great many fields, and we have experience and offices and projects in most of the EU priority partner countries. So we can bring local field knowledge as well as technical expertise into the projects. We always share initial concept notes with our in-house experts for their review, for their feedback, so that we can make sure that we are benefiting from the latest learning in any given sector. A facility model being what it is, that we can have all of this different expertise. And so we really do leverage the best that ICMPD can offer from the field and from our specialists in our office and in our headquarters.
Since the inception of MPF, were there any surprises coming out of the projects, something you did not expect to come out of the design or the result of the project?
I have worked for 20 years before joining ICMPD in the development field. And when I joined the organization, I was looking at the project portfolio that we had. And there were some interesting border guard projects looking at capacity development of border management competence, training of border dogs, these security and specialist dogs. And these look like very solid projects. But I didn't really truly appreciate then the impact that they can and do have. Peer-to-peer engagement, where really those at the front line work with their counterparts from an EU member state and a partner country. We have seen that not only are the technical results very elevated, but also that the sense of community that is created, the sense of solidarity, this endures over years. If you go back and you speak to a Moldovan border guard who benefited from a capacity development program, maybe received some new puppies support on the training. I mean, they still speak in very positive terms about not only that experience, but about the empathy and the appreciation. And so for me, these peer-to-peer operational projects are really a core component of how we see a partnership on the MPF approach. I mean, we live in a time of surprises, from natural disasters to multi-conflicts and pandemics. And I think for me, during the COVID-19 pandemic, we had our first generation moving into our second generation of labor mobility schemes in implementation. And it looked for a moment like it all might come crashing down, because during a pandemic, there is no mobility. But through incredible efforts and really a shared effort between MPF team, between ICMPD Resource Unit, DG Home, but also the commitment between EU member states and partner countries, we were able to ensure that not only did those projects survive and the commitments that were made to individuals that they would have an opportunity either to migrate or to participate in skill development, that they were honored. And these projects didn't just survive, they actually thrived. And the kind of commitment that comes when you have a partnership approach where you have institutional engagement, I think that's also a fundamental characteristic that has surprised me, but also ensures that it is now something that we have built into the approach under all MPF projects. And likewise, from an EU member state, that there's full commitment and ownership on the part of government so that these projects can endure. And I think that has been something that has been a lesson learned, but also a very, you know, positive surprise.
That's impressive. What about wildcard projects in a positive sense? You know, we envision project to be a certain way. We always knew the scope, the size, but it turned out to have resulted into much more significant impact in the end.
I mean, we have many small projects that surprise us by their delivery. We have our big labor schemes that are multi-million and that do also surprise us very pleasantly at times by the spin-off benefits, as I mentioned. The Digital Explorers example, with an investment being made by a company into Nigeria. But we do also, on smaller projects, see a very big impact. There is a project that recently closed between Portugal and Cabo Verde called Co-op for Int. And this was looking at replicating elements of the Portuguese model for these community-based centers of support to migrants in Cabo Verde. Cabo Verde has a new experience where it's not only a transit country or a country of origin, it's also becoming a country of destination. And so to be a country of destination means you need to take a longer term perspective to what migrants may need. You need to look at integration. You need to look at slightly different services. And in this time, we also saw that Cabo Verde was experiencing new boat arrivals and was having to deal really with emergency contexts. And through these centers and the support from the Portuguese, Cabo Verde was able really to cope in a very constructive and positive way with this new reality of being destination and transit. So that project, I think, institutionally has really embedded in the Cabo Verdean government system. The Cabo Verdean government is very, very positive about the engagement with Portugal and really sees this as a model that they want to continue to build upon. So that for me was also a very positive project in terms of its longer term potential and scale. There are other examples too. We have the Wafira project, which is an enhancement of the labor mobility scheme originally between only Spain and Morocco. It tries to look at the women that are participating in seasonal work in Spain, who come for maybe 3 months, 4 months in the summer period for harvest. They benefit from upskilling during their time in Spain for financial literacy, for understanding how cooperatives work, so that when they go home and in the periods between these harvest seasons, they have the ability, with some small investment of financial investment through the project, to set up their own small business through a cooperative or a standalone initiative of their own, so that between the seasons, they're also able to generate income. And over the years, as they grow older, they're able to migrate out of the circular mobility scheme and actually have a self-sustaining financial source back home. This model has inspired many other EU member states, and Wafira 2 has just begun, which is looking at Morocco, it's looking at Tunisia, and also now Mauritania, and has drawn in three other member states who also want to participate and benefit from the learning. There is a growing desire and a growing need, I think, to look at whole of route approaches so that we're not just targeting one country along a route, but really looking at the broader picture of what is the flow of migrants, what is their aspiration, what are the push factors, what are the pull factors, and where are there risks that they're being exposed to, and looking at different ways of intervening, really in a collaborative way between member states, but also looking at the other international actors that are out in that sector. The MPF is a great enabler of these multi-EU member state approaches. And I do see that for particularly some of the smaller EU member states that maybe have less manpower, less ability to engage, that they have an interest where there is, let's say, a shared vision or a shared opportunity to join with other member states and do something bigger, more EU branded, more visible together. And I think over the years, we have really seen that member states are willing and very motivated to work with their peers in other countries in this way.
A lot of really tremendous growth and how projects have evolved in the last decade from when we started. But also this presents us the space to look at the changes in the last 10 years, which we might safely assume correlate with our growth and expansion. What's next? How do we look at the next 10 years ahead?
We have already this year seen that there are new ways of working still emerging from within the incubator, that is the MPF and the global initiatives. There is a new program or a new initiative called GARI, the Global Alliance Rapid Response Initiative, which is really looking at targeted, on-time, time-sensitive communication that would address some of those that are either susceptible to smugglers or that are receiving mis- or disinformation. That's a very exciting new element, new baby that is being incubated through the MPF. I do believe that communication will be a key area that we will see growth. We already anticipate that this will grow further on Schengen visa campaigns so that those in partner countries can understand what are the requirements and try to remove some of the corruption that can happen when people use agents or others who help them falsify documents. So we're really trying to look at a constructive campaign where it empowers those in partner countries to meet the needs of the Schengen visa. And so we want to ensure that people that do travel on a Schengen visa understand its great opportunity, but also its limitations. Well, we see also a need through GARI for really time-bound multimedia communication on migration. And for those across the whole of a migration route, we need to make sure that we are getting the right messages across and that people understand what are their options at every point in time where they're making decisions about their future.
As a facility, facilitating these projects, how does MPF solidify our relations and also strengthen our position in the EU as a partner?
We occupy a very niche and special position already within an EU context as a trusted actor because we have good technical expertise. We're clear about the limitations of what we can support, and we're very clear about what we can and cannot do. And I think over the years, we've really become a trusted reference for EU member states when they're looking for support. On labor migration, we are really seen as one of the main actors, I would say, with experience on the design of schemes. And we are able to assist member states, both within the construction of these projects, but also in general with advice or with linkages to others. So I think we benefit from the best of ICMPD's engagement with member states. And because of our field presence, I think we can often bring very relevant and pertinent adjustments or advice for member states. So it works in both directions. I think our field presence, our technical capabilities, and our engagement in many different levels of interaction with member states and with the European Commission, that can range from the dialogues. MPF is supporting the Silk Routes dialogue through the Budapest process, Prague process, we're supporting with the Eastern Partnership countries. But equally, ICMPD is involved in the Rabat process, the Khartoum process, the city-to-city. So we have really a broad range of engagement points with EU member states that go beyond the ministries of interior, that go beyond the border guard services, but also look at ministries of labor, ministries of foreign affairs, ministries of employment, ministries of social welfare. So we really, I think, have many multiple different entry points that really enhance our position and our understanding of what member states need.
Before I close, I want to ask one more thing, because our team in Brussels managing, again, these very diverse projects and frameworks, and there's always something new. It's very exciting, as well as including the interface with EU institutions, member states, partner countries. How do our colleagues back there operate on any given day?
We're quite a small team. We are 14 people implementing the MPF, and with nearly 100 grants awarded by now, it means that the days are quite packed. Our team, on average, I would think each day have 4 or 5 different member state interactions. That can also lead them to several other types of engagement as a knock-on consequence, trying to find out information. The grants team works both on the incubation, so a project idea before it is a project. They give good advice and support on the design and development of that. When you're dealing with EU money, public money, you have to really be accountable. So we have strong financial eyes. You know, we have to ensure that the rules are being followed and really try to support that member states and other entities that are meeting the requirements and give good advice there. But equally, we are asked an awful lot to participate in events and to share our experience, to give feedback to EU member states on experience from other parts of the world that are relevant to them. So the team has a very broad mandate. And I think we all, quite agile ourselves, have to wear many different hats. But we work very collaboratively with other parts of ICMPD. So we as a facility are also internally the enabler and try to make sure that the right people are involved in resourcing the projects.
But that also means there's probably still room for expansion.
The idea is that the facility can find the right mechanism and the right means so that either through ICMPD delivery, be it through a regional office or for a research project through our research unit in Vienna, that we move the implementation to the right place. And a lot of our implementation is really delivered through the grants. They're delivered by member states with the partner countries, and that's the fundamental component to the MPF. So our project management and our technical advisory capacity may be stretched and may have to increase a little bit. But as the value of the MPF increases, we don't need to see an exponential increase in the size of the facility itself. And this is very important because migration is not something that one country alone can deal with. Things happen in the world that have knock-on effects and that really impact the lives of people, be it issues of climate change, conflict, economic issues, but also just aspirations to experience new cultures and new experiences for some of this, enabling that innovation. I'm extremely proud of what ICMPD has developed within this MPF approach. And I'm really very excited about what comes next. We are very fortunate that we understand there will be a new phase of MPF that will be signed in the middle of this year. And the future for us is really looking quite solid in terms of the timeframe. And we're very excited to see where the demands and where the needs will arise and how we can help.
Thank you. And again, Jennifer, congratulations for 10 years of MPF.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
That was Jennifer Tangney, Senior Project Manager for ICMPD's Global Initiatives. From labor mobility and skills development to integrated border management, from legal pathways in addressing irregular migration to addressing cross-border crimes such as human trafficking and migrant smuggling, and from supporting Ukraine to our diverse work in the Western Balkans, the MPF shows the wide range of how migration partnerships work across the regions. Jennifer also shows us one fundamental principle, that migration governance in practice, wherever it is always about what partnerships can do for people. This has been another episode of ICMPD's The Migration Podcast. We will be sharing with you more of MPF's work in the next episodes. For now, tune into our website and social media channels for more, and thank you for joining us today.